What is going on, everyone, and welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. We are now 6 days away from the draft, and we are going to bring in, who has turned into pretty much our calendar man on the show, Matt Laguza, keeping us on track with the date of the draft. Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, less than a week away.
I know it's next Thursday. 6 days.
6 days.
I mean, almost 6 days exact here. We're coming live at 7 o'clock on YouTube. Today to break down another position group on defense. We have this show, and then we have a show next Monday back on WSOE, Monday at 9 a.m., and that one will be our cornerback slash defensive back. You know, we'll do mainly cornerbacks. We'll throw Brian Branch's name into the hat as potentially a cornerback, safety, hybrid, you know, slot cornerback, however you want to put him in the next level. But today we have the defensive tackle class.
Yep.
And we talked about the defensive ends on Monday's show. And if you missed any part of that, you can find all the top four or five clipped out onto the channel. And you know, also, we went more in-depth on four more prospects as well that are going to be later first-round guys into early second-round guys that you can only find on the live video you know, from the live stream from Monday. But today, Matt, we got the defensive tackles. And you know, this is an interesting position. It's not really deep, but there's some good guys in here, and the top one we're going to talk about is a guy who on the field might be the best prospect in this year's class, and Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it that Jalen Carter is, when you talk about on-field skill, he's a top three player in this class, and he's an absolute beast. And we saw that all season this past season with Georgia, and just going back to the class, I mean, overall, it's a very underwhelming class. Once you get past the first two or three names, there's some good value pieces, but there's no one that really catches your eye and says, all right, this guy could be very, very solid at the NFL level. So when you're looking at guys like Jalen Carter, if you need an interior guy, you might have to kind of take a little risk on him, go for it earlier, because there's not going to be that many options for you to get that are surefire on skill level talents.
Yeah, and the big thing, you know, with Jalen Carter has been pretty much that he's had the worst draft process I've seen a prospect ever have. I mean, talk about all the things that happened at the combine, you know, having to fly down with the charges that happened with, you know, with the incident in Georgia, leaving the combine on the day he was supposed to meet with the media, the morning he was supposed to meet with the media, leaves Indianapolis, goes back down to Athens, comes back to Indianapolis, doesn't really test, doesn't really impress anyone, you know, shows up, I believe, overweight at the combine.
Yep.
Same thing at his pro day. The pro day barely got through the pro day, even with the drills he actually did. But still is considered to be a top seven, top six.
I mean, the way this quarterback class is going over the past 2 weeks, I mean, he could be a top three pick for all we know.
He could be.
Like, I don't know. It's
just
weird.
So interesting to see, like, a player who is so good on the field and it just continuing to hurt his draft stock, but yet still be pretty much a top
five.
I don't want to say a top five lock, because I, you know, could see him, you know, get to a six or seven potentially, but still an easy top 10 guy in Jalen Carter, who again on the field was phenomenal at Georgia this past year. You know, production wise, only had three sacks in 12 games to 24 hurries, but a 92.3 PFF grade was, you know, exceptional against the run, and it really shows on the field. While a lot of teams are really high on this guy, and they might, you know, put aside all the character concerns, all the off-the-field concerns, and still take him with their top pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about his performance from this past season, he absolutely dominated interior offensive linemen at the college level. Now, people are a little bit concerned about what he can do against NFL-level guys with the bigger, stronger NFL interior guards, but, I mean, if he can keep working and actually stay focused and be ready to go for the NFL season, there's no reason why he can't succeed. I mean, talent level is through the roof. And I think if we didn't have guys like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud who are going for that top pick, he would be right up there with Will Anderson in that conversation for going number one in this class. I mean, these two, we talked about Will Anderson a lot last week. Him, Jalen Carter, I mean, that is a big 1-2 punch at the defensive side of the football. I mean, two teams are going to be very happy. Jalen Carter, if he can figure it out, it is a top three level talent in this class.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what GMs put aside everything.
Yeah.
And then take the player for what he is on the field and work with everything after the fact once you have him on the field, because he is a surefire freak on the field. A guy who's played, you know, multiple positions all along that defensive line for Georgia. You know, the one technique, the two eye, three technique, five technique. If you look at the stats from PFF, 255 snaps in the B gap, 83 snaps over the tackle, 30 snaps in the A gap, 20 snaps outside the tackle, four snaps off the ball, everywhere on that Georgia defensive line. Jalen Carter was there and was making plays for that defense, and a strong motor. I mean, everything on the field checks out at a high elite level for what he can do, and this process is just ultimately, I don't even want to say tarnished him, because it hasn't.
I mean, it really has, because, I mean, when you look at it fully, you're looking at a top, top three level talent in this draft.
Yeah,
easily. We haven't seen a defensive tackle like this come out of the class since Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams, absolutely amazing coming out of Bama.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter's coming in. Literally the only weakness that I have seen throughout the entire process on the field is he struggled against Osiris Torrance in 2022 when they faced Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he struggled against Darnell Wright this year. Those are the only two things. Big, powerful interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, top prospects.
Top prospects.
Yeah.
Top prospects. Osiris Torrance, arguably the best interior offensive lineman in this class.
Yep.
So when you're looking at it, I mean, he's dominated everybody else.
Yeah.
He really has. I mean, if you can handle his off-the-field business, whatever's going on there, he should be a top five pick. And if a coach goes in and says, I can deal with this, we can set him straight, then he's a top five pick. And I think that's what everybody's seeing. Like, he's just too valuable of a piece to not take a shot at.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't miss him.
So if we pull up the film here on Jalen Carter, and what we're seeing, and what I really took note of from watching him, was the strong short area quickness, getting to the ball in a burst, you know, a quick hurry off the defense, you know, off the line on defense. And the other thing that's pretty fluid, great body control. It seems like every play, he's just always directing to the football.
Yeah.
No matter who's in front of him, he's forcing that player on, you know, on the offensive line to the football, whether it's a tackle, a center, a guard, Darnell Wright, whoever it may be.
Yeah.
Forcing them to the football. So we'll pull it up here and take a look at some of these highlights from Tennessee. Just right there, just clobbering Hendon Hooker, causing a forced fumble for their defense. But a very productive guy. A surefire freak on defense that's just constantly wreaking havoc in the backfield, causing fumbles, getting all over running backs, you know, right as they get the handoff, getting after the quarterback, just time and time again. The guy's a beast. And here we got some highlights as well against Will Levis in the Kentucky offense. So just, he's a menace in the backfield with everything that he does.
I mean, he's a machine.
Yeah.
He really is. It feels like he can't do anything wrong on the field. He really can't. You see these highlights going up against very, very good offensive lines in Tennessee and Kentucky, which underrated offensive line that they had there this year. But, I mean, you look at him and you see NFL. You just written all over him. There shouldn't be any question about it. So I completely understand if he slips. If he does, whatever team gets him after 6 or 7 would get the steal of the draft if they can handle him.
So what teams do you like for Jalen Carter? Because, you know, I'm listening to some podcasts, listening to some different things. You know, Lance Zierlein, he said that his, big, bold move that he'd see at the draft, one comes from the Eagles and one comes from the Bills. But for the Eagles, he has them moving up from 10, if possible, to get Jalen Carter if he starts to fall. So the Eagles, you know, pairing him back up with Jordan Davis, who they took last year, I believe.
Yep.
He's a good mentor to him on that defensive line in Georgia, you know, back with his buddy in the interior of their defensive line. But more teams, you know, around that 5 to 6, you know, 4, 5, 6 range, you know, Seattle, Detroit Lions. Of those teams, which one do you think he'd be a great locker room fit the best and provide the most impact for that defense?
Personally, I don't see the Eagles trading up to get him.
I agree.
I think they get him if he drops to 10, and it's arguably the steal of the draft if that happens. Because we saw their defensive line last year.
Yeah.
It was insane. You put Jalen Carter in there, I mean, it could potentially be another Super Bowl appearance for the Eagles, arguably locked up.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at it, I really like the Seahawks, I think at 5. I think that's a decent fit there. They mm-hmm. need some help on that defensive line. Pete Carroll's a kind of coach that, you know,
he's done it
should
before.
Should be able to handle a fiery off-the-field person. Saint at six, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I think that could be well. That could be a very interesting fit. I think the Falcons will take anybody, so they'll just take the best defensive player on the board if he gets there. And I mean, other than that, I don't see him getting past the Eagles, but if he does, there's no way he's getting past the Titans.
Yeah.
So I think Lions, Seahawks are probably the most likely outcome for him, whichever team decides they can handle him.
Mm.
But Seahawks, I think they go edge if one of the edges is available.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then he'll go six of the Lions. Yeah. But I think those are the two best fits.
That's exactly what I have. And I think if two edges are off the board by five, Seattle usually pulls the trigger on them.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree. I think their top of the board right now is one of these two edge rushers. And if one's there, Detroit Lions at six feels like a really strong landing spot for Jalen Carter. So next player on our list, Matt, and this is really gets really interesting. You talk about, you know, the defensive tackle number two in this class. A lot of people have different rankings. A lot of people like, you know, Kalijah Kancey that we'll talk about later. But the player we're going to talk about now is from Clemson, Brian Bresee, who dealt with a lot throughout his, you know, time at Clemson, a lot of not really off-the-field issues where, you know, many think of, but just a lot of things, yeah, just a sad story of what he's gone through in his career. But still on the field was a dynamic and natural chaos maker in the backfield for the Clemson Tiger defense. 6'5", 3'10". He's the former ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020. Just the adversaries prove that where he's at in his character, he's well mature, well ready to, you know, face anything that comes his way in the NFL. And I like him as a prototypical, you know, three technique guy that gets into the backfield and really shines. And a lot of people are sleeping on him in terms of first round talent. You saw him early in the process, starting to slip out as of late, but a guy that I really like in terms of what he can bring onto the field.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that Jalen Carter is the best defensive tackle in this class. Kalijah Kancey is my favorite. He's a freak athlete. Literally the only negative that I see on him is his size. He is undersized. 6'1", 281. He's a little bit small for that, but production-wise, extremely good. Athleticism, extremely good. I mean, he should be a first-round draft pick this year. I see no reason why he shouldn't go to, I mean, Buffalo Bills. They could use a defensive tackle. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they could use a defensive tackle. There are plenty of teams in that mid to late first round that can use a guy like this. And, I mean, he's going to be extremely productive. He's going to be a very good starter at the NFL level. And if he slips to the second round, I mean, I just don't understand why. He is that kind of guy.
Yeah. And while we're talking about Kalijah Kancey, just like player who plays with incredible urgency as well. Gets after the ball, wastes no time. Even, you know, when the play is past him, he still tries to, you know, run, you know, keep the play moving. You know, he doesn't quit on a play. Runs down the ball carrier, wherever he may be. But the size, you know, it was a concern. 6 foot, 280. But we'll pull up here on Kalijah Kancey. And what really got people's attention, being a guy from Pittsburgh during the combine, an RAS comparison with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And this is what a lot of people turned their attention to on TV. During Indianapolis at the scouting combine was a lot of these similarities. I mean, 40-yard dash, a 9.96. For Kalijah Kancey percentile, 9.95 for Aaron Donald. Just, I can go right down the list. Everything was extremely similar, except pretty much Kalijah Kancey had a better vertical than Aaron Donald. Now, do the numbers say it, but we're not necessarily saying he has the potential to be the next Aaron Donald. But as a player from Pittsburgh, a lot of people are drawing the comparisons between the two. And the numbers say it's easy to see why.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he can't be that kind of player, and we've seen that the NFL, it's not just about size anymore. It's about athleticism. It's what you can do to kind of get over your size. And Kalijah Kancey, I think his technique is good enough. I think his explosiveness is good enough. He's really good at getting off the line, and I think he'll adapt well to the NFL level. I think he's kind of got the mentality to be able to push through, work harder than everybody else, and really make an impact. So, personally, I see Kalijah Kancey as a first-round pick. I think he is going to be the only other defensive tackle that goes in the first round. But, yeah, no. I definitely see him as a first-round talent.
Yeah. So you look at the numbers from this past season comparatively to these other top tackles. Kalijah Kancey had a very productive year. 8 sacks in 11 games with 30 quarterback hurries, 91.8 PFF grade, played the majority of his snaps in the B gap, similarly to Jalen Carter, except he played it a lot more. Mm-hmm. Traditional B gap guy, despite his size, 358 snaps in the B gap. And that's really where he shines in terms of getting into the backfield. Jalen Carter can pretty much bulldoze through any tackle or any tackle or guard in front of him. Kalijah Kancey is at his best, you know, with his size, using that to his advantage and shooting the gaps. You know, gap penetration was really key for him. Looking at his film and diagnosing what he was able to do, being able to get behind the line of scrimmage and make an impact against the run in the pass. But just, you know, the size, the length doesn't bode well for an NFL defensive tackle. But I think I agree with you. I think someone in the late first round is going to pull a swing on this guy and see what he can do at the next level.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. He's shown that he can do it at the collegiate level. 14.5 sacks and 27.5 tackles for a loss in the last two seasons as a starter. He's had the production. Mm-hmm. And I think you can't look away from that. And you've seen that undersized guys have been able to succeed at the NFL level. And I think he's got the mentality to be able to kind of push through, as I said before. So, in my opinion, there's really no reason why you should skip over him.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about who you're going to draft, especially 20-plus in the first round, and defensive tackle is one of your positions of need, I mean, I personally would go for him. I really like him and think he's going to have a good NFL career.
Yeah. So pull the tape here now and see some of this gap penetration. You know, mayhem work out in the backfield, getting, you know, shoestring tackle there on a running back, shooting the gap there and just running down Drake May from UNC, causing an incomplete pass, and now against Hendon Hooker. A lot of gap penetration. Guy shoots to the line of scrimmage time and time again, uses his size to his advantage. Even though he's an undersized defensive tackle, he uses it very well and has a great game and a hot motor that some defense coordinators are going to love.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there's really not much else to say about him. You can see it all on the tape, and he's got the athleticism, he's got the production, he's a first-round talent.
Yeah, I think so, and a very fun player to watch. And
yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
It's going to be fun to see potential comparisons continue with the great Aaron Donald. But we'll go back now to the Clemson guy as well, Brian Bressy. Who we mentioned and hit on a little bit with the adversaries off the field, the former ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year. Bressy is another one I like, and he was the one that I was saying that he's kind of slipping out of the first round and one that, personally, I would take in the top of the second round.
Yeah.
Because this guy was an elite player and, you know, has some issues where, you know, the play kind of dipped a little bit, but I think he got back into elite form this year, and I think proved where, you know, the on-the-field testings he did, the pro day at the combine, the interviews that he did, proved that he can get back to that level again. You know, he had 6 sacks in 12 games in 2020. This year that went down to 3 sacks in 10 games, but still a pretty dominant player early in his time at Clemson, and I think he can get back to that level once again in the NFL.
I mean, we talked about his teammate at Clemson last week in Miles Murphy. If you look 2 months ago, both of these guys, I mean, they had top 10 in mock drafts in some places. And they've just continued to slide and slide and slide. I think both of them have first-round talent written on them. And as people who watched last week's episode, or earlier this week's episode with the edge rushers, I said Miles Murphy is going to be end of the first-round pick. I think he's going to get in. He's going to be that final edge rusher that gets into the first round. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a mid-first round pick either.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brian Bressy, except personally I think he's going to be an early second. He could squeeze himself in to that late first round. I think there's a bunch of teams that could still use a defensive tackle. As I mentioned, there's a few teams late in the first round, and if a guy like Kalijah Kancey goes earlier than expected and ends up going in the 18, 19, 20, 21, somewhere around there, someone's either going to trade up for Brian Bressy, or one of those teams in that 25 to 30 range are going to go and get a guy like Brian Bressy. But as I said, personally, I think he's going to go early second round.
Yeah, and I think he's going to have a strong fit in the NFL, personally.
Yeah.
I mean, the things he did best at Clemson was dominating zone run schemes. Excuse me, with the flowing offensive line.
Yeah. You good there?
Yeah, excuse me. And that's what we're going to see a lot at the NFL level as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're just looking at him, he's extremely athletic. He's got a great build, and his production is not there. We didn't see that at the collegiate level. There's no big numbers on the stat sheet or anything like that that kind of like jumps out and says, this is a first-round guy, this is a top 20 guy. But that's not really what he is. He's not going to go out there and get you a bunch of sacks or anything like that. He's just going to be sitting there in the middle of the defensive line, and he's going to make plays. And that's the kind of player he is, and that is the kind of player that when coaches look at it and see what he does in the middle of the defensive line, fills gaps and just kind of makes plays, that's what's going to get him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to being the 28th pick or the 34th pick. And just, like, you know, getting that first-round pick. But he's definitely someone that has the potential to be a first-round talent. Just depends on whether a coach is going to take a risk on him.
Yeah. So when you get back to the film here and see kind of what I was talking about with this zone run defense, excuse me. Heavy weather here at Elon. But being able to shoot the gaps against these pulling offensive linemen, trying to pull out for the zone run that we see here, utilize at Georgia. He's all over the backfield.
Yeah.
Time and time again, and that's kind of the caliber of offense and rushing offense he's going to be facing up against in the NFL and where he plays his best, which is why I see him getting back to this elite status that he showcased early in his career at Clemson that kind of died down. I think he has the ability to get back to that level in the NFL, and a lot of people are harping on that right now and not really paying much attention to what he can become in terms of slipping into the first round, being a first round guy.
Yeah. And I think there are plenty of teams that are going to enjoy this style of player. Mm-hmm. And it's just trying to figure out whether they want to waste a first round, not waste, but use a first round pick on this kind of player when we've talked about a lot. And especially in this position, we're going to talk about it next week with the corners.
Yep.
There are a bunch of corners that are going to be selected in this first round. We could see upwards of like 7 corners potentially. So when you're looking at it, do you want to go get one of those top corners when it's going to kind of fall off after you get 7 or 8, or do you want to go and get Brian Bresee, which you may be able to get, or some of these other guys that we're going to talk about in a little bit, similar production style and can still be a big part of the game. So I was looking at it. I wanted to try to fit him into my... I haven't completely confirmed my mock draft yet, but when I had it, the only way I was going to potentially have him in there is if someone traded up in that wanted...
Yeah.
So...
And the only team I can think of that really was a strong fit for him and trying to look into him was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
But they're another team, like you were saying, positional value in the first round, a cornerback makes more sense.
Yep.
And that's what's kind of hurting these tackles in this class right now, being a first-round pick, outside of, obviously, a surefire freaking Jalen Carter. It's a defensive tackle class in general position in the first round is not a very high position that a lot of teams value. They value edge rushers, tackles, cornerbacks. That's what we see go year after year, where you have 10, 11, 12 guys at those positions flying off the board once one, you know, falls. But you're going to find incredible value with some of these guys at the top of the second round. And Bresee is just another one to add to that list.
Yeah, so I think he's going to be a second-round pick. He's going to be early. He's probably going to be selected before the 40th pick in this draft. Just very unlikely that he gets into that first day. Mm-hmm. So I mean, no questioning his talent. It's there. It's a first-round grade, but there's only 31 selections in the NFL draft for the first round. Only 31 players can be there. Defensive line is just not the sexy pick, not the splash pick. So some of those guys that could be first round talents just don't get it.
Yep, for sure. So the next guy we have on our list is a Northwestern guy that I really want to talk about. We could have talked about him easily on Monday.
Yep.
Because this is a guy who easily can play on the edge, but easily can play on the interior of the defense line, and actually a guy who, you know, came on pretty late into this process. Got into this process really late as being a top guy. And there's, you know, a couple mocks out there where they're trying to sneak him into the first round. I think a lot of people are trying to be loose lips, or not loose lips on this guy, tight lip on this guy.
Yep.
Because of what he can be, and a lot of teams are, I think, you know, crossing their fingers so that he can fall into the top end of the second round. But it's Adetamua Adebare out of Northwestern, a truly hybrid defensive lineman who is so intriguing to watch in terms of, you know, what he can do. A stand-up edge rusher, 5 technique, 4-eye, 3 technique, has the mass to play any position, really. I mean, you look at his RAS score at D-tackle, you look at his RAS score at defensive end. They match up very similarly at a high, high level. You know, and I think he's – actually, we'll pull it up. At defensive end, he is a 9.88, and I think at defensive tackle, he was like a 9.93. So a very top-level elite category where the only thing knocking him at a defensive end is his height at 6'1", is, you know, listed here as poor on the RAS database. But when you switch that over for a defensive tackle, that looks a lot better for him. That's why he goes up to that 9.93. But a very, very athletic guy who tested extremely well this year, rose onto the charts. And you look at the versatility that this guy had, 374 snaps outside the tackle, 261 snaps this year in the B gap, 75 over the tackle, and then 2 in the A gap. Pretty much played all over the defensive line for Northwestern and did it at a high level. 6 sacks in 12 games, 22 hurries this season. A very productive guy at Northwestern that a lot of people are getting on to late in this process.
Yeah, and I just said Bressy is probably going to be a top 40 pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think Adetamua is a lock to be a top 40 pick. I think his ability to not only play inside but play outside as well cannot be overlooked.
Yes,
and
for sure.
I think with all we talked about this last week, there are so many edge rushers, but there are so many teams that need edge rushers, and there are going to be 7 or 8 guys that get selected in the first round as edge rushers potentially. Who's going to be left other than we talked about BJ Ojulari, who's probably going to be a second round pick?
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a team that likes to maneuver their defense, try to play with different sets and like figure everything out, why not go with a guy like this? He can produce it both interior and on the edge. Why not go for him? He's an extreme athlete, and he's got the tools to be able to play either position. I mean, it just makes sense for him to go early in the second round. Again, size, don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. Personally, I never had him in the first round, like some people may be projecting.
He's come on the scene very, very late.
I just think he's an early second, no question.
Yeah.
But he's come on late. People might just go take a flyer on him. You never know. People may go for it.
I think the versatility is very appealing.
Oh, yeah.
With Adebare. And I would like, so what did I start doing? And I talked about the offensive line, Steve Avila, and I talked about on Twitter. He's my guy that I think is going to be my sneak into the first round guy on offense. Adebare is my guy on defense. I'm imagining here that he's going to be the name that gets called late in the first round, where a lot of people are going to be like, who?
Yeah.
But this is a guy to really pay attention to, in my opinion. I mean, he has the mass to play head up on tackles. He has the speed and quickness to shoot the gaps on the inside, dominate at any point, you know, on the defensive front, in my opinion. And then when you pull up the stats, or excuse me, the film, it shows that same thing. You know, operating at 2 different points and all over the defensive line here against Ohio State with C.J. Stroud and this, you know, rushing offense that they had, even, you know, passing the ball with C.J. Stroud, but all over the football. And, you know, they try to get away from him. But the defense coordinator in Northwestern utilized him so efficiently in this game, moved him around to where they had no choice but to go straight at this guy, and he was all over the football the entire game once you check out the film. I think that's what really got people on him, was watching the C.J. Stroud game against Northwestern and seeing Adebare all over the ball on every single play. So a guy who I'm really enticed by trying to sneak into this first round.
And I don't know if you saw it about 4 or 5 plays ago, but his sideline-to-sideline speed,
it's incredible.
Insane. When you do an outside run, he just comes out of nowhere and goes to grab the running back. I mean, he's an extreme athlete, no question about it. I mean, I completely see it. But I'm going to turn into the host real quick. You talked about him potentially going into the first round. I mean, what teams do you potentially see him going to? Is it someone that's going to trade into the first round, or is it going to be someone that just kind of takes a flyer on him there? Like, you know, the Saints did a few years ago at 27.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think So what I had chopped up, and I've changed it since then because I don't think Philadelphia is going to go with two defensive linemen. Because that's what I currently have mocked at 10 as a defensive lineman. But I think if they go, you know, trade back from 10 and then get one of the top tackles in the mid, you know, to early teens, you know, someone moves back up, you know, moves up to 10, they move back. I think Philadelphia could easily pull a flyer on them with the 30th overall pick. I think that'd be a great fit. And they're looking for a versatile guy on the defensive line. I think he's a, you know, strong fit there. And the same thing with the Chiefs. Also looking for a versatile guy on the defensive line that can do it all, or they already have some established players and a player who can be a plug-and-play guy, pretty much. A rotational plug-and-play player who has really strong upside at either position you put him in. So I like those two teams. I don't know if someone will move back into this person and get him, but I think, you know, Philly, if they move back and get a tackle, I think that's the most likely landing spot for him.
So last week, I said Miles Murphy is going to go to the Chiefs at 31. Because of his versatility to be able to play along the defensive line. If you've got both of them available, are you going Adebare or are you going Miles Murphy?
I'd probably go Adebare. I mean, it's been a while since a player's absolutely blown me away by his tape.
Yep.
And when I saw Adebare's tape and not seeing any buzz about him, I thought, like, I stumbled upon a gold mine. I was like, what am I missing here? What did this guy do? And the thing is, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And now people are slowly starting to catch on this train and realize that the player that he is and the player that he can become if he's utilized the right way. And I'm really excited to see where he lands and if it's going to be in the first round or not.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it happening. There's no question about it. He's got all the talent in the world here. Yeah. So.
Well, Matt, we got one more player to discuss and we'll get out of here for today's episode. Another guy where we saw a little glimpse of the team that he plays for in the past film study, but a player out of Michigan, much more of your stereotypical big, you know, hefty defensive tackle, 6'3", 323.
Still an athlete. These last three guys that we've talked about, they are athletes. Like, two guys, smaller size athletes, this man, Full package.
I mean, tremendous run stuffer at Michigan. Strength, physicality off the charts, and allows him to reset the line of scrimmage easily. And for a team wanting a true defensive tackle, Mazi Smith seems like the guy. Mazi Smith is the guy that they want to look into. For teams that aren't fortunate enough, we should say, to have the luxury of getting a player like Jalen Carter, Mazi Smith offers that stereotypical defensive tackle ability. Being a disruptive downhill guy that occupies multiple lanes against the run, and just he stuffs him right there in the tracks.
What gets me really excited about this guy is I've seen this comparison a few times, Dontari Poe.
That's what I saw, screams
NFL caliber, big man up the middle who is going to just dominate the run game.
Yep.
So, I mean, when I see that, I'm immediately, my eyes just go straight to him. Watching the film, he was absolutely amazing. Productive in the run game. He's big, strong. He just pushes through that offensive line like there's no one there.
Yeah.
So big guy, again, day two pick in my opinion. Going to be early mid-second round, somewhere around there. But he's going to be a value pick there.
Yeah, I mean, and the stats definitely speak for themselves for what kind of player he's going to be. 2 career total sacks. And you look at the snap counts. He had 6 snaps outside the tackle or off the ball. This year had 585 snaps in either the A gap or the B gap.
Yep.
He is your middle of the defensive line body.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty much it.
That is his job. And he does it so well and so effectively. And we talk about, you know, teams late in the first round. They take flyers on, you know, because you think about it. Late teams and back in the first round, what are they usually?
I mean,
playoff teams.
They're guys that just want someone that's going to fill a specific need.
That's exactly right. They're not going to take a best player on the board. They just got through the playoffs. They had a heartbreaking loss either in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs. And usually there's only one or two things that went wrong. So in the first round, they target that one thing that went wrong. You know, maybe they got gashed up the middle in the run game. Mazi Smith, he's the one late in the first, you know, potential late first round guy where he comes into it and comes into a team and fills a huge need potentially for a playoff caliber team. And that's what I see out of Mazi Smith this year.
So, potentially, what you're saying is here, he could be a fit for the Eagles.
He could be.
I mean, we're talking about this. They trade back. They go and get an offensive lineman or Bijan Robinson somewhere in the mid to late teens. They go, they might want a guy to pair up in the middle of the defensive line with Jordan Davis. Mazi Smith could be one of those guys. I mean, it kind of makes them two very similar type players in that aspect. But them and the Chiefs, it does make sense.
Yeah,
Buffalo Chiefs. Bills, possibly, if he goes first round. But, yeah, there are definitely some teams. Again, personally, I think he's going to go second round. But there are definitely some teams that could make that. I think between the last three guys that we just talked about, Bressy, Smith, and Adebare,
yeah,
Kancey could be in there as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of in a different class, in my opinion, as of right now. But those four guys, they're kind of fighting for one, maybe two defensive line picks in the mid to late first round. So it'll be interesting to see what teams think of all these guys once we get into that. Once we hit pick 20, we're going to start really thinking about which of these guys is going to be first round picks, which of these guys are going to be second round picks. And it'll be kind of interesting to see what teams decide to do and for what reason. Because I think all four of them have the potential to be first-round talents.
Yeah, and as I look ahead, you know, to my mock draft on Wednesday, when I look at this back end of the first round, the Chiefs, I'm sitting here with three players, pretty much, highlighted. Maybe four. And they're one of the teams I'm struggling with right now, because, you know, even if they stay at 31, I'm so conflicted of what they're going to do. And Mazi Smith is one of those players.
Yep.
Where I think he's a strong fit for the Chiefs, and I'm just interested to see what logic and mindset they're going to go into the draft with, and how they're going to approach this first round with their, you know, first pick in the draft at 31. But like you said, this end of the first round is going to get really interesting, because personally, it'll be hard to see two total tackles, you know, defense tackles getting into it. I mean, Jalen Carter, like I said, easy luck.
Top 10.
Yeah,
he's not getting past the Eagles.
Yeah, he's getting in. And I want to see which one of these other guys that we talked about today, these other four, which one sneaks in the first round, if any.
Yep.
And if you were to take a bet on it right now, who would that one player be they think could sneak in? Because all these players we talked about are fits for some of these, the same teams we talked about, the same fits for these players. Who's the player you think stands out?
I mean, as of right now, in my mock, I've got Kalijah Kancey going to Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep. This seems to be a very public perception, too.
I think that's the guy as of right now. But the thing is, I haven't decided on who.
Yeah.
But I've got one of these other two guys going 32, 33, 34. One of those very, very early second round picks. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it. And if I see Kalijah Kancey go between 21 and 25, I could see one of those teams also trading up into those picks with the Eagles, Chiefs.
Sweaty palm action going on in the draft room.
I was kind of toying around with having the Bills trade out of the first round and potentially go and get someone early second round.
Yeah.
So in somewhere between, what, they've got 28? 27. They've got the 27th pick in the draft. So I could potentially see a third defensive tackle go between 27 and 31.
Yeah.
But as of right now, if you're asking me to pick one, it's Kalijah Kancey, somewhere between 22 and 26.
Yep, a fair reasoning. Well, now that's our defensive tackle class. Real quick, short to the point. Are there any other ones you'd want to just highlight? Maybe here at the end of the episode, probably some later value guys you have in mind that you want to talk about?
I mean, there's two guys in particular. One potential late second, early third round pick. One, it's probably going to be more 4-5.
Yeah.
First guy, Tuli Tuipulotu.
Yeah.
Another versatile guy. That's what I really like about him, interior, exterior. I think he actually tests better as an interior guy than as an edge, especially on the athleticism side of the football. But I think he has the potential to be a very, very good NFL player. Could potentially be a starter.
Yeah.
So, again, we were just talking about this. Potential third defensive tackle going in the first round. Then you've got Mazi Smith. If a third one goes, then you got one or two other guys that we just talked about going early second round.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need a defensive tackle, who are you going to go to mid to late second round, early third? This is a guy that you might want to go for just because of his versatility.
Yeah, more hybrid player.
Yep. And then the later guy, it's Gervon Dexter Sr.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he's an absolute beast.
Teams love him, too. A lot of teams brought him in on visits.
He's huge, first of all. 6'6", 310.
Yeah.
And he's got room to grow into that frame as well. Very, very slow off the line.
Yeah.
Very slow. But he doesn't lose a battle. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't. You see him, and he just throws people around in there. So if you could kind of get him a little quicker off the line, have him make a decision a little bit quicker, have a little bit of a better reaction, I mean, he could be a very, very good player. But he's more of a value pick later in the draft that I see. So interesting to see where he goes because, as you said, teams love him.
Yeah.
Great size, great ability on the field. Just a few things that you kind of got to develop, work on, or deal with.
The tools are there. You just got to
put it all together. It.
Exactly.
So he's kind of a guy that I see 4th, 5th, 6th round, somewhere around there probably. But very good player.
Yeah. Two out there as well. Guy out of Baylor, Siaki Ika.
Yep.
Another one who's a versatile nose tackle, traditionally nose tackle. So if you want that in this class, Ika's your guy. And I got to give some love to the Wisconsin Badgers every now and then.
Oh.
Keanu Benton. Another one as well who's a beast of a run stuffing.
Also Carl tackle. Brooks. That's another name that I just remembered.
Another,
he's
edge rush.
Edge rush interior guy. Very versatile.
There's a lot of those in this class.
So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen here. There could be a bunch of guys. Once we get past that first round, then you're going to start seeing some of these guys go. 2nd, 3rd, 4th round. That's when you're going to start seeing some of these names that we just mentioned pop up.
Yeah.
And they're going to be guys that you're going to want to watch because they're more value picks and guys that are going to sneak on the rosters, get that 3rd or 4th place on the depth chart, and then eventually work their way up over the next year or two. Mm-hmm. So.
And even if we throw some love to a team down the road in Wake Forest, Kobe Turner.
Yep.
Another one, 6'3", 290. A 4-tech, 1-tech, anywhere tech guy you want him on the defensive line as well. And also, Kobe Turner, a lot of people don't realize, experience on punt return, punt coverage, field goal block. He's going to be a contributor as a
coaches
rookie.
Love guys that can contribute on special teams early on. That's what gets you starting gigs later on in the season. So you got if you can do that, you could boost your draft stock by a full round.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Matt, I appreciate it. We'll be back in studio on Monday to talk about the cornerback class.
Yep.
Add in Brian Branch as well.
Yep.
We're not going to do a full safety episode because that's probably, in my opinion, the
probably the only
position.
One.
Yeah, one of the weakest position. So Brian Branch will throw in there as well as maybe a corner in this year's class. But we'll do that on Monday. Mocks on Wednesday. Draft on Thursday.
We're getting there.
We're wrapping up.